Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
But nevertheless, we want to welcome you tonight via by Facebook Live. And of course, if you're watching the rebroadcast of this, either by Facebook or by YouTube, we welcome you to the broadcast. Again, if this is your first time joining us, again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. And if this is your first time, please let us know below under the Facebook Live comments, or if maybe you're watching the rebroadcasting this and you're live, or YouTube, whatever the case may be, however you're seeing this, please let us know, wave to us and let us know, or say I'm new or something, let us know that you're that you are indeed the first time viewer, that you're joining in, and we will welcome you, and we appreciate you coming on here to take out the time, taking the time out tonight. So without further ado, guys, let me get into this word. This was a word that I got in my devotional time this morning, and I want to minister on what the burning bush is speaking to someone right now. So let me get into this thing, guys. Exodus, we're going to hop around here. Exodus chapter 2, Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Now, we're not going to read all this. I'm going to skip around some things here, and I'm going to pull some things out. Really, the correct term would be to draw some things out. And I'm going to show you why I believe the Holy Spirit gave this to me. The Bible says in Exodus, when we go over here to Exodus, let's go over to Exodus 2. We go in here into the book of Exodus, and it's interesting that there's two things that's coinciding with one another. And this is what I think is interesting. On one hand, you've got the children of Israel that are in bondage, that are in captivity. So you've got a generation, watch this, you've got a generation that's in bondage and captivity, and they are crying out. They are crying out before the Lord. They're interceding before the Lord for them to be set free. Okay? And while this is happening, something is being birthed. And what is being birthed is their deliverer. Watch this. In Moses, in the book of Exodus chapter 2, it says, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months, but when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, and she laid it with asphalt and pitch and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank, and his sisters stood afar to know what would be done to him. So watch this. I love this. So here you have a picture of the children of Israel don't even know. All the while they're in bondage, they're in oppression, and they're crying out to the Lord, and it seems like they're not getting an answer. Come on, somebody. They're praying. They're interceding. They're not seeing a manifestation of the breakthrough. They're not seeing a manifestation of the deliverance. But what they don't realize is while they're crying, while they're interceding, something is being birthed. Come on, something in the natural is being birthed. Their deliverer is being prepared. Something, oh, I just want to say this tonight. I told you we're going to draw some stuff out tonight. You're interceding and you're crying out because of your bondage, because of your stronghold, because of maybe your addiction, because of your circumstances that seem like hardship. And it seems like it never ends. And it's sun up and sun down. And it's day in and day out. And it's 40 days a week. And it's 7 days a week. And it seems like it's been year after year. And it seems like you've cried out for this thing to get a deliverance, to get a breakthrough, to get set free. But what you don't know is God is preparing something for you. He's already setting things in motion. See, it says that she prepared an ark for him. But on the other, on the flip side of this thing, there's someone out there that's listen to me tonight, and you know that you're called. You have a message. You have a voice. Oh, come on, somebody. You have a word, and God has put that in you, Jeremiah, and it's like a fire that's shut up in your bones, and you can't contain it. And you feel like you're frustrated because it seems like you can't get a release. And you're like John, you're on the backside of the desert. But come on, you got to remain in the ark. You got to remain hidden. until it's your season. So then you go down here, watch this. I told you we're going to skip down. And it's interesting that the word Moses actually means to draw out of the water. So tonight we're going to draw some things by the Holy Spirit out of the story, or out of the backdrop, you would, of Moses, out of his resume, that I believe is going to resonate with some people tonight. And this is, again, this was a strong devotional word I got this morning, and I just want to minister to this how I feel led by the Holy Spirit tonight. So we're going to draw some things out of Moses' life. And it says in verse, and this is in Exodus 2:23. Now it happened in the process of time. Somebody say, in the process of time. You got to say that again. Come on, say it again. In the process of time, it happened. Come on, it happens. In the process of time. It may not, just because it didn't happen today, just because it didn't happen yesterday, just because it didn't happen on your time frame, just because it didn't happen when you expected it, it don't mean it ain't going to happen. But it says in the process of time, watch this, the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel groaned because of their bondage. But it's interesting, you'll note here that God had to wait till something first died before something can fully, come on, come alive. Many times in our lives, we're looking for something to manifest, but God is waiting for something to die before something can live. Oh, come on. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, I beseech you, therefore, I die daily. He said that, what did he say? He said, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh is through the faith in the Son of God. So he understood that something has to die in him for something can live through him. John said it like this. He said, I wish that I may decrease that he may increase. And he said, well, that's not the proper context of this. Oh, listen, guys, I know this. I know the whole story of this, and you guys know this too. I'm giving a prophetic word to somebody tonight. This is a prophetic word. We're drawing some prophetic elements out of this. It says, in the process of time, the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel groaned because of their bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. You got to know tonight that your intercession is not going on deaf ears. Come on, your intercession, your prayers, your groaning, your cries for deliverance is not going over like a lead balloon. It's going up before the throne room of God. And it says, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. My goodness, I could preach a whole message out of this called God Remembers. Come on, he remembered Noah. He remembered Cornelius. He remembered Jacob. He remembered Abraham. He remembered Isaac. We could preach a whole message on God. He remembers the martyrs that were slain. Excuse me, in the book of Revelation that you can read about during the tribulation. It says, God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. So then we go to the verse, then we go to chapter 3. So I said all that to get to this part right here. And in chapter 3, watch this. So here, Moses is fully developed. He's fully grown. Come on, he's maturing in what he's walking, what he's called in. You got to see this. And it says, but he's getting ready to have an encounter that's going to change the course of his life. But watch this. Before he has the flame, before he has the encounter of the burning bush, something else happened. Now let me back up. I'm going to show you this. In verse 11, Exodus 2:11, I almost got ahead of myself. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own brethren. So he looked this way and he looked that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? And then he said, and then they said to him, listen to this, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So listen to the response of Moses. So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard of the matter, he sought to kill Moses. So Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh. Now, I got to show you this, guys. Let me get a drink real quick. This is so powerful. Listen, Moses acted carnally. Come on. He murdered someone. Now, right there, he shouldn't even be qualified to be a deliverer. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, right there should have disqualified him from being God's chosen man. He should have been disqualified from being the deliverer. After all, he shed innocent blood. He murdered someone. Thou shalt not kill. It was one of the Ten Commandments. But watch this. Just because, oh, this is a word for somebody. Just because you mess up in your process doesn't disqualify you from your purpose. Golly, I got to say it again. Just because you might mess up in your process doesn't mean you're disqualified in your purpose. See, Moses was born with a destiny. Moses was born with a purpose. For what reason was Moses born? He was born to be risen up, to be called of God, to be a deliverer, to be brought into the house of Egypt, and to set the children of Israel free. So it's not like Moses didn't have a call on his life. It's not like he wasn't chosen. It's not like he was born for such a time as this. It's not like he wasn't supernaturally spared when he was in a small ark and floating down the river, and he was protected from alligators, and he was protected from snakes that could have killed him, and he was protected from the boat the little vessel capsizing and sinking, and somebody else taking it, and the wrong people getting into the wrong hands of somebody, because remember there was a decree that went out into the land to kill all the first male born children, and it just so happens by coincidence that this boy who had a marked destiny and a marked purpose on his life happened to avoid all these obstacles. He happened to avoid all the circumstances. He happened to avoid all the dangers that could have took him out, could have prematurely killed him, could have killed him before his time. No, friend, there's no coincidence, because God supernaturally had his hand upon Moses from the time he was conceived all the way to the time when he slew a man. Now, I'm not saying it was God's will for him to kill someone. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's not God's will for us to sin. But what I'm trying to say is, don't let the devil try to convince you, because you've got a call on your life, because you have a purpose on your life, and because God's called you and commissioned you, and because you failed and you've made failures and you've made slip ups and you've done the wrong thing, you've run the wrong way, come on, you've fallen short, doesn't disqualify you from, come on, he who began a good work in you is faithful to finish it, to complete it until the very end. So watch this. So Moses flees from the very place where God had called him. So then we know the story. He goes out to the backside of the desert. Now listen to this. It's interesting that he goes to the back of the desert and to the mountain of God. Oh, I come by to tell you today, you may not want to go to the backside of the desert, and you may not want to go to the mountain of God, but it's on the backside of the desert, and it's in the high place is where you're called, it's where you're commissioned, and it's where the fire of God's going to be found. And it's usually by circumstances, by trials, by tribulations, and by trouble that pushes us. Listen, guys, we will either willfully go to the mountain or go to the wilderness, or we'll be driven there. Let me say that again. We will either willfully embrace the mountain of God, embrace the wilderness of God, or we will be driven there, come on, by the Holy Spirit, by circumstances, by trials, by tribulations, or by things or troubles. Okay? So notice there was a trial There was a storm, if you would. There was circumstances. And this is what drove Moses to the backside of the desert. It drove him to the mountain of God. Come on. And it just so happens that that's where the angel of the Lord appears to him in a flaming fire from the midst of a bush. Now, what happened? We all know the story. God calls him from the midst of the bush. He says, take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you stand is holy ground. Come on, this is a divine encounter. Have you had a divine encounter? There's a lot of people, many are called, but few are chosen. There's many people that take up a position. They claim to be this and they claim to be that, but they were never called. They were never, they may have been called, but they were never chosen, rather. I got twisted there. They may have been called. They may have been called by another preacher or by a denomination or by an ordination. But were they chosen? Many are called, but few are chosen. Did they pay the price? Did they have an encounter with God? Did they seek the face of God? Now, notice this. Watch this. Listen what it says. He says, take off your sandals, for this place where you stand is holy ground. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And listen what the Lord says to Moses. Quote, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Come on. Here's what I love this morning when I was studying this. Notice when he had an encounter with the presence of God that it wasn't about him. It was about what God was going to use him to do. Let me say that again. When he had this encounter with God, this conversation wasn't about him. Moses kept trying to make it about him, himself, but God was trying to make it about the purpose of Moses, the destiny of Moses. Moses kept saying, what about me? Watch, I'm going to show you this. Watch this. So listen to this conversation. And he said, what are you trying to say here? I'm trying to tell you, listen, there's a reason why God's called you to do what you've called to do. There's a reason why he's got you where he's got you, in that job, in that location, in that area, in that region, in that city, and even in a place you don't want to be in, even the place you're not comfortable in, even the place you want to get out of, even in the work that you hate, even in the environment that you don't like. There's a reason why God has appointed your steps and positioned you where you are. Come on, get your eyes off of me, 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 and get it on him and what is his purpose. Now listen, let me go on down here. He said, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Oh, listen, do you know God's raising you up to send you to a Pharaoh? He's raising you up to send you to Egypt. He's raising you up to send you into the house of bondage. He's raising you up to send you to some prostitutes. Come on, to some drug addicts, to some drunkards, some people that are practicing abominations, people that are bound by everything under the sun. Come on, and you say, well, I don't understand why God just don't put me in a place where everybody's like me, everybody's a Christian, nobody cusses, nobody drinks, nobody is doing drugs, nobody's doing all these things. Listen, God ain't interested. Come on, he came to the sick, not the well. It is the sick that need a doctor, not the well. He's called you to be light. He's called you to be salt. He's called you to be light in the midst of darkness. So he says, Moses, from the very beginning, when there was a decree across the land to take out all the male children, I knew I had to preserve you. And I had to raise you up for such a time as this so that I could send you forth right into the enemy's camp to set my people free. Some of y'all don't even understand what God has taken you out of. You don't even understand all the times God has spared you. You don't even know. Come on, y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Listen, I know what God has spared me from. I can't tell you what he spared you from, but I can tell you right now, there's been many times in my life that I should have died in a car accident. I should have died on a bike accident. I should have died in a hospital. I was almost aborted when I was in my mother's womb because she talked about aborting me. But why did God spare me then? He spared me over and over again. I'm going to tell you, because he knew on this day in 2019 that he was going to raise me up to be a voice to somebody watching this by YouTube, by Facebook, or however you may be watching this tonight. He rose me up for such a time as this to tell you tonight that you may have thought you were lucky that you survived, come on, an overdose, that you survived a car accident when you were drinking and driving, or you were riding with a bunch of fools that were drinking and driving. You should have died on the hospital bed. You should have died of cancer. You should have died in your mother's womb. You should have never made it. You should have never come out on the other side, but God spared you over and over and over. And the reason why your heart is still beating in your chest, the reason why you still have a pulse, the reason why there's a breath of life still in your body is because he still has you here. And get your eyes off of you. Get your eyes off of you and get your eyes on him and his purpose. Okay? And the camera has just cut off again. Of course, the video is cut off again. But we're still live. We're still live here on YouTube. Okay? So we're still going live on YouTube, and we'll just publish this over here. So devil, you could try to cut off the feed all you want, but we're still live and we're going to still go. We're going to still keep going. So let me go on down here. Watch this. He says, but then Moses tries to shift. Come on, like we do. We try to change the subject because the destiny and the purpose is so beyond our comprehension and our understanding that immediately we become fearful. We get anxiety. And Moses said, who am I? Verse 11 of Exodus 3. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? That I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And the Lord says, I will be with you. And he said, and this will be a sign to you. And he goes on and tells him, he says you're going to have a rod with you. You're going to put your hand in your bosom, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do all these wonders. And then Moses says, well, who do I tell them that you are? And he says, you tell them that I am who I am. You're going to go in the name of I am. Listen what he says. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he says, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Thus you should say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Now, and then he goes on, watch this, and then Moses begins to make more excuses. And then Moses answers and says, suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Again, he's making it all about himself. He's taking the focus off God and how big God is and how big his purpose is for your life. And he's putting it on himself. He says, suppose they don't listen to me. And then this is when he says, what's in your hand? I'll use what you have. But then Moses goes on even more. And he says, oh Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And then the Lord says, who's made your mouth? Who's made you mute? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, and the seeing, or the blind? Have it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And then, can you believe the nerve of Moses? He says, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may see. In other words, Lord, get somebody else to do this. I can't do this. And your Bible says, this thing caused the anger of the Lord to arouse against Moses. And then Moses says, here's what Moses says, the Lord says to Moses, he says, go get your brother. You tell him what to say, and he will be your spokesman. But guys, you've heard me preach this before. It was never the intent of Aaron to be with Moses to speak. I'm going to say it again. It was never the intent of the Lord for Aaron to be with Moses. God didn't call Aaron to do this thing. He called Moses to do this thing. And because Moses felt like he had to be enabled to do this and have Aaron to use to help him to do this, to support him to do this, when the things got hot and heavy and Moses had to go up on Mount Sinai to get the commandments of the Lord, when Moses came down, guess who it was that led the children of Israel into idolatry? Who was the ringleader? Read your Bible. It was Aaron. And the Bible says the anger of the Lord came against them and he was ready to destroy all of them. But Moses had to stand in the gap and intercede for them. But again, the very thing that Moses believed with all of his heart that he had to have to enable him to do what God had called him to do ended up being a snare to him, and it actually caused him to have to go back up again for another 40 days and get the commandments and bring them back down. So there's so much stuff in this, guys, and I just wanted to minister this word. This was a quick word tonight. Again, I felt like it was for somebody. What the burning bush is speaking to somebody tonight. And here's what I want to emphasize to you. It's no accident that you're watching this. You have a call on your life. You have a purpose on your life. Listen, if you're born again, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you said yes to the Lord, then guess what? You have a purpose in Christ Jesus. You're not called to warm a pew up. You're not called to give a lip service. You're not called just to show up and punch a clock somewhere on a Sunday morning service. You're called, you're called to help someone. You're called to do something for the body of Christ. And I believe the Bible says the gifts and callings are without repentance or they're irrevocable. He gives to every one of us, all of them, all of us, as the Holy Spirit wills, he distributes to each one of us gifts and callings to be used for his glory. So I'm asking right now, I want you to just lift your hands up and I'm going to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice that's watching this, either by Facebook, by YouTube. And I pray for those that are watching this broadcast, Lord, I pray that, Lord God, that they would have that burning bush encounter. Lord, they won't just be called by somebody or called by denomination or by a leader or by a friend or what the case, but they will be chosen. They will know with an uncertainty, or I'm sorry, they will know without uncertainty. They will know by certainty, they will know definitively that they have been called and chosen of God for such a time as this. That there will be no doubts, that they will be able to distinguish that they had an absolute encounter with you, God, a burning bush encounter that they could walk away, Lord God, knowing that you are with them. And Lord, I pray that we would take our focus off tonight of ourselves and get our eyes. You said it like this in the New Testament. You said, lift up your heads and look up, for the wheat is ripe. The grains is white. It is ready for harvest. You said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And you said, pray to the Lord of harvest that he would send more laborers into the harvest. So Father, that's what I pray tonight. Raise up, equip, and send forth your laborers. Lord, you've got laborers in the workplace, the marketplace. You've got them in behind pulpits. You've got them in churches. You've got them in warehouses. You've got them in factories. You've got them in restaurants. You've got them in assembly shops. You've got them in a car sales lot. You've got them in an office space. You've got them everywhere. Lord, you've got us everywhere. You've got laborers everywhere. Lord, help us, Lord, to acknowledge that we have been spared. We have escaped things that we shouldn't have escaped. We were able to We were able to survive things that we should have never survived. We should have never came out on the other end. But because you kept us alive, we know that you still have a purpose for us to fulfill. And once we get our eyes off of us and our selfish ambitions and get our eyes on what our purpose is and being used for your kingdom, Lord, then we will find that peace that we're searching for and fulfill the purpose that you have for our lives. Lord, because it was from that moment on that Moses went forth, and he went forth into the will of God and began, Lord, to do that which you commanded him to do. And Lord, it wasn't easy for him. They didn't receive it most of the time. And there was opposition against what he was trying to speak to them and what he was commissioned to speak to them and what he was commanded to speak to them. But Lord, he was obedient. Because he was obedient, there were signs, wonders, and miracles, and people were set free because of one man's obedience. Golly, I felt something when I said that right there. Because of your obedience, when you step out and do what God's called you to do, because of one act of obedience, you'll see people set free from the house of Pharaoh and from the bondage of Egypt and begin to be set free so that they can begin to go forward in their purpose and forward in their journey and their destiny in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Guys, again, we apologize for all of our Facebook folks that were cut off, but thank God we have a backup here on YouTube. So we love you guys. We appreciate you taking the time to come out, come on here on this broadcast. And you guys that watched some of this before we got cut off, I pray that you will hop back on here and watch the rest of this and catch the rest of this broadcast. So again, guys, if you want to follow us and subscribe to us, you get push notifications, email subscriptions. You can do that at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You'll see all that come on the screen there at YouTube. On our YouTube channel. Don't forget to push the little bell for notifications, and don't forget to subscribe here on YouTube to our channel so that you can get all these messages when they come out. And remember remnantrevival.org as well. That's another branch of our ministry that we have as well. That's also a backup that we put all of our messages on, and they're archived there as well. If you'd like to support this ministry with a gift of any amount, if this ministry is a source of encouragement to you, edification, it equips you, whatever the case would be throughout the week, and you'd like to give, support, or partner with this ministry, we want to give you that opportunity. You can do that by visiting our main website, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And when you go there, you're going to see a place where you can give up there at the top on the tab where you can donate, or just look for the button that says support ETH. When you click on there, it'll give you options that you can choose from, or you can give by check or money order, and you could do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, and that's Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. So, again, we appreciate you guys and your support, and we're going to be signing off for tonight, but we will be back on here on Wednesday. God bless.